Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
Okay, where are you originally from?
Pennsylvania.
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 I was born
in Middlesbrough, Pennsylvania, and came out here to California when I was 3 years old, and that's when I started working in motion pictures.
At three?
Yes.
What did you do at 3 years old?
I played baby parts.
Baby parts?
Right.
And were your parents in show business?
Indirectly. My dad, you know, was quite an entertainer in his hometown and had an orchestra, a local orchestra, and he played the piano and the violin and the trumpet, and my mom played a little piano and sang, but they weren't in what you'd call show business. Mm-hmm. When we traveled in vaudeville, my dad managed us, and my mother took care of us, and we used to carry our own troupe around, my two sisters and I, and 10 people altogether. Mm-hmm.
And you worked at different vaudeville stages throughout the
right,
country?
We were in the last years of vaudeville.
And what was your upbringing like? I mean, were they parents that gave you a lot of freedom?
Freedom as called today, or freedom in those days?
Freedom to do what you wanted to do.
I could do whatever I wanted to do, except hurt anybody, and as long as I respected my mother and father, and to this day I've tried to maintain that attitude. I'm still my mother and dad's little boy, and I'm, you know, they're still alive, and they are indirectly the boss. Mm-hmm.
I'm local, so I know about the Billy Barty show that was local for a while. What happened between those vaudeville days and your appearance with the Billy Barty show? How did you do any serious roles up to that point, or what did you do?
Well, when I quit show business in 1942, I went on and finished high school, and then I went to Los Angeles City College and majored in journalism and in radio announcing, and I was going to get out of the business altogether. Mm. And I went to Los Angeles State College too, although they didn't have any journalism department, so I just took a general course over there. Then about 1948 and 49, I found myself slowly getting back into the business. And NBC was doing a children's show called Animal Fair, of which I was going to be a co-host with a gentleman by the name of Jack McCoy. And we did that locally here for Masterson, Reddy, and Nelson in 1950. I did a lot of local shows before that, but getting to the major part.
See, I'm only 25 years old. So
yeah. You were born in
52. I need this help.
Right. Well, in 1950, then the show was taken back to New York for a network show called, they changed the name from Your Pet Parade, from Animal Fair to Your Pet Parade on ABC. And we did that for 26 weeks on a national basis. It was
What was the format of the show?
The format of the show was the children brought their local pets on to perform.
Ah, great.
And it was a cute show. It was a good show. And
gong show for animals, maybe.
You better believe it. Some of the acts were so bad.
Well, what do you expect from an animal?
Well, I'll tell you, we've had some goody acts. We had these little alligators, and they are nasty, boy. They are mean. And they can bite your hand off. You had to be careful.
Yeah, they snap.
They snap. I was thinking about snapping. You ever see a snapping turtle?
Yeah.
You ever put a piece of wood in the snapping turtle's mouth, and that piece of wood is cracked immediately. I mean, of course, she's not going to do a 2x4, but I mean, you know. We had snakes. We had spiders. We had hacks that wouldn't do nothing. Uh-huh. And it was fun. It was very good. It was a good form of communication with the children and their pets.
And that's the same thing you did here locally, but you went to a national...
We went to a network, yes. Yeah. And Then, after I did that, I did a lot of local. I did a lot of network shows with James Melton, the Ford Festival. I was on that for a year and a half. Then I came back home, and I was doing nightclub work, and I joined up with Spike Jonze for 8 years. And
What did you
after
do with him?
musical comedy,
Oh, great. So
yeah.
you were in their shows.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
That's great. Vance Kovic was telling me was an advance man for them.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah,
Yes, he was.
yeah.
And we've traveled all over the country. Of course, I traveled as a kid. By the time I was what, 10 years, 11 years old, I'd already been throughout the United States and through Canada. And I mostly did adult shows. Well, Spike Jonze was also for anywhere from 6 to 60 or 8 to 80, you name it. 300 to 300. A lot of people enjoyed him, and it was a fun show. Then I left Spike in 1960, and I did a lot of Peter Gunn series, and but not too much children, not too many children's shows, till about 1963, when I was signed up for the Billy Barty Big Show. I'm going to sneeze.
It's all right.
And excuse me.
That's why we have the edit button.
And then cut that one out, or leave it in. I don't care. Then I did the Billy Barty Show for 4 years almost. We did it straight for 3 years, and they took me off the air. Then they brought me back, and then we went off when KTTV just decided to dump all children's shows, and they had a KTTV had a oh had a great Sally Baker. There's another one. You
Yep.
know Sally
I
Baker?
just talked with her on the phone this morning.
Okay.
She's really busy. We're going to meet within a week.
And she, they had Hobo Kelly and Paul Winchell and Mahoney and myself, and they just had the children's market sewed up, really,
Yeah.
literally. They had great ratings, and then they just got rid of it.
Why?
That's what I asked. I went upstairs and I asked why, and the answer they gave was very truthful, that they're just dumping live children's shows, getting rid of the live
And
performer.
they're re replacing it with
That's
cartoons.
right. So there went a lot of communication. Sheriff John went. He was the last to go. He was about 19 or 20 years. But it was a sad, it was really a sad affair of management, just changing for changing's sake.
I'd like to get back into that in a moment. Okay, I mean, in a few questions that I have.
Sure.
Now, it was called Billy Barty's Big
Big
Time
show.
Big Show, and you were the ringmaster.
Right. I was the host, the announcer, the singer, the dancer, and we had a format, but nothing was written. We used to average about, in the beginning, in the first 2 years of the show, I would say we averaged about 150 kids a day in
Coming
this,
in there.
coming into the studio.
Now you tape once a day?
We didn't tape at all. We were live 5 days a week.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, well, no tape. A lot of shows taped, but we were.
150 kids in one show. That's quite a bit, Dan.
Well, it was one of the. It was a most popular children's show.
It's a loud audience, huh?
Oh, screaming kids, and but they were very good, and they were well controlled, and of course, naturally, the worst part of any kids are the parents, which is what's happening to the world today. It's not the kids; it's the people who are bringing them up a lot, most of the time. Get my 2 cents in on that.
The root of the problem.
Oh yeah, I had parents. I used to give away prizes, and but I always one thing I always did was I always wanted the kids to earn a prize. I never wanted to give away. I wanted them to be taught that they had to earn something. And the parents never understood this. They said, "Go ask Billy. He'll give you a gift." They come, "You're going to give me a gift. My mommy said so." I said, "No, I'm not. I say, if you can answer a question, I'll give you a gift. And, you know, we used to play games, circle, who's in a circle. And then we had the big game that you could win some good prizes.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell me a little bit more about what was the show was like? I mean, how did it start off at the beginning? Did you have a certain song?
Oh, yeah. I wrote a song called Hello, Hello, and Welcome to the Show. It's nice to have you with us today. Hello, hello, it's so nice to say hello. It makes you feel so happy and so gay. Oh, my name is Billy Barty, and you're welcome to our party, where every boy and girl will have some fun. So hello, hello, it's so nice to say hello, and welcome to our show today. I'll say, you know, welcome to the show today. And I used to start out, hi, kids, and they'd say, hi, Billy, and we'd go, hi, kids, again, and they'd say, hi, Billy, again. And we just had a one big party of 150 kids. And I used to try to communicate with all of them, you know.
You just sang that so well. Did you lip sync? Did you have a certain track that you lip synced to?
No, I sang it live.
Every time?
Every time.
That's great. That's great.
And we had the organ player, and we did it live.
Do you remember the organ player's name?
I have it written down. Paul.
If he was the same guy for a number of years.
He did the same. He did Paul Mitchell's show. And he did, in fact, he was Truth or Consequences organist. And for a long time, wasn't.
Could this be Bill Haptop?
No. No.
Now, I asked about embarrassing moments. Do you have any particular stories?
Well, I think this must have happened to a lot of the children's show MCs. I had one little kid who kept interrupting me, you know, and he says, "Oh, Mr. Barty," and I says, "Wait a minute, I'll be right with you." "Oh, Mr. Barty, I says, "Wait a minute, we're right in the middle now. I'm talking to Johnny here, and as soon as Johnny's through, I'll talk to you." But Mr. Barty, Billy Barty, because they didn't call me Billy Barty. Mr. Barty, they always call me Billy, and which I liked and I encouraged. Finally, he was so patient, and then finally when I asked him, "Now what do you want?" He says, "Where's the bathroom?" He had to go to the bathroom. And I think that has probably happened to a lot of MCs.
Now, did you just say,
I right on the air, I told him, I says, "Well, you just go out that door." I says, "Now tell your mommy to go with you." He's only about 3 years old. Four. I says, "Tell your mommy to go with you." Uh-huh. "Go out the door, go down the alley, and you'll see it says men's room right there." Told him right on the air, and he says, "Thank you," and he went on his way.
Now, prior to doing this show, you had done, as you mentioned, a lot of straight, serious roles as Peter Gunn and such. What was it like to be suddenly recognized in the streets as a children's celebrity? Did that suddenly change your life at all?
Changed my life. Well, it became all of a sudden, it became that I was just known by everybody in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. To this day, I can go, you know, when somebody says, "What's your name and what do you do?" I know they're from out of state. Mm-hmm. I know they haven't been here in this city long. Mm-hmm. And it really brought a lot of friendship and to meet a lot of people. And a lot of people, I came into a lot of people's homes, and I used to do a lot of benefits. I would average maybe one or two benefits a week. Mm-hmm. And finally, after a year of that, I just said, I can't do it anymore. It's just working 7 days a week and doing free shows. It was just too much. So, and then I, you know, started getting paid for some shows. And, you know, nobody wants to pay you. You know, they want you, but they don't want to pay you. They do.
And shopping centers and schools.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, oh, they pay.
So you did.
Well, you know, when colleges pay somebody to down $4,000 to down America, you know, you at least get a few dollars out of the Safeway stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what was it like to do 5 days a week and then do weekends? Did you do quite a few weekend shows?
Well, every weekend for the first year, I did over about 100 benefits. Uh-huh. And the second year, I just said, you know, I got myself somebody to say no. I turned it over to somebody else.
You weren't your own manager to you were your own
Yeah, but
manager at that
I'm a
time.
soft guy. I like to
Deal with
help
them.
various causes. You know, I help the Catholic organizations, the B'nai B'rith, you name it,
Are you
and
a religious man?
yes. I just joined the Mormon faith about 6 years ago, so.
So you've been making changes.
Trying to.
You're not a man who's worked into a groove. You like to move around quite a bit in life.
Oh, I don't think I could do one thing at a time. I'm working now on the Billy Barty Foundation. I work on the Little People of America. I'm in the middle of writing a book. I'm trying to put together two television shows. I'm on my way to England and setting up a tour.
You
Then
just
one.
knocked off my last 10 questions
Oh,
here.
okay.
Now I want to get into all of those things.
Yeah.
Now back to the show. Before we go on to something else, about the show being canceled. You say you went upstairs and you talked with the people and.
I couldn't figure out why, because the rating was good. And one person says, well, you know, we're having a hard time finding sponsors, which I didn't swallow at all, because as I went downstairs, there was a man from Oscar Mayer and standing there, and he asked the guy right in front of me, he says, how come we don't have more advertisement on the Billy Barty show? So that, and the guy kind of hemmed and hawed and caught himself in a big fat lie. And so I says, oh, you're having a hard time finding sponsors, huh? So that showed me something. You know,
Could
I
it be
don't.
that it just all deals down to money because you know
No,
it
it
costs
doesn't deal down to
it
money.
doesn't it doesn't
No.
cost it, you don't think it's just because they want to knock off the crews to set up a show to use a sound stage for a program when they could run cartoons instead?
Well, that could be true. Yes, that could be true right there. But they just cut down on their programming, their children
Lack
programming.
of caring.
Yeah, I would say nobody. I can't say nobody cares anymore. But it seems like, you know, to me, the trash that is being put on television, you know,
You
now.
don't see really any local television hosts, do you?
No, and the
Doesn't that
FTC.
make
Well,
you
the
want to go down
FTC.
and knock on those doors
No,
again?
they, well, the FTC and these children. What do you call them? I have a name I'd like to call them, but I'm not that type.
All these groups that
Yeah, anti-violence.
yeah.
They're all working on the wrong thing.
It's hard to open their mouth anymore.
Yeah,
So they're doing
now they want
something
to do
wrong.
away with. See, they did away with one thing that killed it too. They did away with guest hosts of children's shows doing commercials. And right then and there, that knocked out a whole group of people. It knocked out unemployment for everybody. You know, and local, little local shows, they probably don't care that much.
And now they have the kids doing the commercials.
And now they have the kids doing the commercials, yeah.
It's an interesting turnaround, isn't it?
Well, they don't know what they're doing anyways. They think, I mean, somebody should tell them, you don't know what you're doing. Shut up, go out, make it be a good husband, be a good wife, and forget about getting into other people's lives. Because there's enough people to take care of that. All they want is a job. How much money do you think they get for this? They get a grant probably of $200,000 a year to find out that you're right and they're wrong, but they end up being right. If I may sound bitter, I'm bad at times.
A lot of reason to be mad these days at one thing or another. How did you start with the cross?
Oh, how did I start with a cross? Well, I started by not starting with a cross.
They came to you and they found you somewhere.
Yeah, they came to me and I wasn't available and I didn't want to work that hard for what they wanted to pay. And this is the beginning, or I'm talking about the early stages.
Yeah. Well, that story still goes on today, you know.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And I think the feeling was mutual then. We got to, then they didn't want me. And they used other people, and they did Puffin stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't even in any of Puffin stuff. And then they did the movie, Puffin stuff.
The Universal.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I found myself playing four, let's see, Googie the Gopher, the Pelican. I did four parts in that movie.
And that was your first association with them, was the movie?
I'm trying to think whether that was or Sparky the Firefly. We did Sparky the Firefly. We did, then we did Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. And the Bugaloos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Bugaloos was Sparky the Firefly. And then we did specials and...
You mentioned Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. I just did a station presentation special with Channel 13, and they rented Sigmund and the Sea Monsters and the Croft people to film them and do the show as a separate company to for me to build three other characters for that show that was used. So it was the first time that I'd ever come up against the Crofts on the same show.
Oh.
It was interesting.
Oh, well, great.
Yeah. Sigmund and the Sea Monsters are still alive and well.
Yeah, I heard they just sold everything again. Bugaloo's Cross sold all their shows.
Oh, really? To a distributor now?
I guess.
Well, they probably want to get rid of it. You know, it's old hat to them and on to bigger, better things. They take the money and run.
Yeah, well, Sigmund was really a good, great show. It was a... Working on those costumes was not the easiest because you couldn't see.
Uh-huh.
You really couldn't see. You had.
You did a lot of location kind of scenes.
We did and we didn't. We started out doing a lot of locations, but then we went inside the studios.
Uh-huh. And the locations was. Any particular stories with those costumes at all? Or
what?
Do you have any funny stories about those costumes?
I don't think there was anything that funny about those costumes.
Yeah. Did you ever fall down in places?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Because of your, one thing you couldn't see too well,
mm-hmm.
the other you couldn't move too well, and everything was done by instinct. People were, kept bumping into everybody once in a while.
Which makes,
and our yeah.
Adds to the whole thing.
Right, right. I think that's how they blurp and slurp really got started, by bumping into one
yeah.
another all the time.
Because
yeah. they did it anyways.
Yeah.
But it was everybody... Sharon Baird and
I know Sharon
Paul Gale,
Van Snowden.
Yeah, Van Snowden. Oh, there's a great character person.
Yeah.
And well, they all are. And Patty Maloney, they all put themselves. I think this is why the shows were so good, because they weren't just people inside of a costume. They were people who really came to life
yeah.
inside. Costume and it showed outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody looked at me inside of Sigmund and says, you know, I'll bet you that's Billy Barty in there.
Yeah.
They really did.
Yeah.
Because the actions and the moves, which was very difficult.
Yeah.
But
you know, I noticed also that I worked with Hommy Stewart for 8 months in St. Louis.
Oh yeah.
There's a character too. And I think it wasn't yeah, I know. I was afraid of that. But Hami,
yeah.
You don't bring that out.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier, and I have a question now about the Little People of America. How did that start? Was it something you cooked up in your head one night and say, gosh, there ought to be an organization?
Well, there were various organizations, but they were mostly little clubs here and a club there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was somebody that tried to start it once before, but nobody really successfully got the organization together. And I was working at the Riverside Hotel with Spike Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a public relations man by the name of Nick Bourne. And he asked me, we started talking about little people, and he asked me if we ever had a convention.
Mm-hmm.
I says, no, but we've been thinking about getting a national convention and getting people organized,
too fast.
Getting an organization together. And so I was there long enough with Nick that we came up and talked to Mort Wertheimer, who owned the Riverside Hotel. And being that Reno was known as the biggest little city in the world, everything seemed to tie in together. And so I says, okay, I'll organize it. You do the public relations. And the hotel gave us free rooms and half price on the food. So when I traveled with Spike Jones, every place I went, we, you know, talked about our national convention that we were going to have at the Riverside Hotel, April 3rd, 1957. And at the first convention, we had 20 people representing 9 states. Well, 20 people weren't a lot, but the 9 states were pretty good. And a lot of people didn't come because it was called the Midgets of America. Now you got your dwarfs against the midgets, and you had fictions and fractions, and, you know.
What was the purpose of bringing these little people together?
Well, the main purpose was to start conversation to find out what we needed in regards to employment, what we needed in regards to social activities, what we needed in regards to clothing, what we needed in regards to medical help. It all started to flow. And in a matter of 3 years, from 1957 until we had our next national convention, which is 1960, I had written the Constitution, organized the states,
formed an awareness of what,
and with another dear friend of mine who has passed away, Anna Dixon, and the present vice president of the organization, Leuna Turner. There's two of us. They started mailing letters out to everybody. We mailed letters out to hospitals, to police, to chamber of commerce, to churches, schools.
What was the reaction?
Very good. In a matter of 1 year, we had a mailing list of 150. And our next national convention, we had 139. Now, today, we have anywhere from 400 to 500 attend a national convention. Because there's about 100,000 little people in the, you know. And little people has always been favorites of kids anyways, because they're the same size. It's the parents who scare the kids away from little people.
And so prior to the little people of America, there might have been a lot of little people that were taken advantage of as far as
definitely
kind of form. So you know you set the groundwork for, as you say, rules.
Well, we knew, like for instance, we knew one young man locally here that had automobile extensions, and he was charged $300 to have hand controls put on, and he had perfectly use of his legs and hands. And two of our members now, a gentleman up north, San Francisco, and one locally here, make extensions for automobiles that you pay $65, and they fit on most any compact car. And you can also take them with you and rent a car now. All you need is a pillow. So we've insurance.
It's just something that adjusts to any car. That's great.
And they extend anywhere from 12 to 17 inches. They start this size and they roll out. If you're extra small, they can even make them longer. Depending, you have to be measured, because there's still different heights among little people.
So you have a lot of, how many percentage would you say of these people are involved in the entertainment industry?
1%.
Oh, really?
Not much.
And this is a good thing for social gatherings. This is a good chance for other people, little people, to meet other little people, perhaps.
It's a good thing for big parents to meet other little people, to learn what to expect, so because it's a shock to them, you know. This has nothing to do with your story, I don't
Yeah,
think.
yeah. Well, I think it does. I think,
Oh.
I think it's interesting. Because this, as you say, you're just saying this now because it's important to break down all these walls that have been built up,
Because
And that,
let me tell you
and
a
that's what
very
you mean.
interesting story
Yeah.
that will relate to this is because when I was doing my children's show, kids would say, "Hey, there's a midget going down the street. Look at the midget. Hey, that's not a midget, that's Billy Barty."
But you don't have to be a celebrity to.
No, but then they associated that with other little people. And what they did, when they would see other little people, they'd walk up to other little people and say, "Do you know Billy Barty?" Because they knew I was little. And I used to have discussions with kids all the time. They used to call me a midget. "You're a midget, you know. You're a midget. My mommy says you're a midget." I says, "No, I'm a little person. You're a midget." And, and finally, after the conversation was over, I would convince the boy and girl that I'm a little person. And somebody else would say, "Hey, you're a midget." And the other kid would say, "No, he's a little person."
Yeah, I think that that must be one thing to deal with being a children's host. That's one thing. But to have to deal with that on top of it, that's another thing.
It helped. It really helped the organization of me being, I don't want, if you want a term, celebrity, me being a celebrity. It helped.
Yeah, it would help, yeah. What are the requirements to be in the Little People of America?
Well, the Constitution has a height limit of 4 foot 10,
So
and
I guess is Sharon Barrett in it? Did she make it?
she wouldn't exactly be classified as she's a little woman, but she wouldn't be classified exactly. In some way she would be
She's
as a
not
little person.
a midget or a dwarf, but she's a
She's
little
a little
person.
woman, right. Yeah, she almost be she wouldn't be classified as a pituitary type of dwarf, and yet. I don't know, but she's more just a little woman. Or Patty Maloney. Have you met Patty Maloney yet? Yeah, well, she would be a pituitary or a midget.
What's Patty doing now? I'd like to send something out to her. Perhaps you
She
can help me with
is.
her address.
Yeah, I
She's done a
will.
lot of work too, and I give her some credit for that.
Yeah, well, they loved her on the Donnie and Marie show. She worked for Kraft's.
She's done so many things.
And she's t with Toadie Fields.
Yeah.
Patty is now working on a thing with me called Lord of the Rings, Bakshi Productions. Tolkien's book. We've been working on that now for about off and on for about 6 months. We're playing the Hobbits.
I think I heard somewhere about that. Oh, it was Sharon, I think it was. Sharon mentioned it too.
Sharon's on it, yeah. Sharon's
I
playing
think I heard her talking
Frodo.
about it, yeah.
I'm Bilbo and Sam.
That's great.
And yeah, we hope we get this picture finished and let him so we can see it what it looks like.
What
But
company is doing it, Bakshi?
Bakshi, he did The Wizard and what else there? Felix the Cat. Felix.
They did Felix? Oh, great.
Same company.
I'll have to get in contact with them somewhere. I understand a man named Alan. Now, I see a picture. Was it in People magazine? You're jumping on the Randy Newman album.
Right.
Is that just a joke to you, or you take that seriously?
I took it both ways because I understand you see little people and short people, and there's a lot of little people who it wouldn't affect. But there's a lot of people that it would affect, and a lot of kids and parents that would definitely affect. So that's it didn't affect me, and there's a lot of people who, I wrote we wrote a song and it was never released, and I wish it was because it was the funniest thing that you'd ever want to hear, and I got the tape of it. called Tall Tall People.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
spent $5,000 in putting it together, and they never released it.
Yeah. My roommate's a tall person.
Oh, yeah.
He can relate with that. Yeah, he's really he has to bend through doorways. That's funny. Have you done any straight... What was your favorite straight acting role that you've done up to date, you think? Because I want to mention that, even though it's not necessarily associated with children, these are adults that are really going to be buying this book, and I think it would be interesting to mention.
Probably, as to date, would be Day of the Locust and W.C. Fields and Me.
What kind of part did you play in W.C. Fields and Me? I forget that.
It was a very heavy part. So was Day of the Locust. I played...
W.C. Fields and Me, that was television?
Yeah.
It came on television. Right. Was it made for television?
No, it was a motion picture.
I think I saw part of that. Yeah.
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 I was in about the first 15 minutes of the movie.
That's why I didn't see you. I said I saw part of that.
I was W.C. Fields, Rod Steiger's right-hand man. I was responsible for him coming out to Hollywood.
And I see you have one son.
Yes.
Is that your family?
No, I have a daughter, 15-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. who's going in her last year in junior high school. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be little. And then I have a son, Brayden, who's going to be big, as you saw, mm-hmm. with his puppets and cavorting around. He, mm-hmm. he was so happy he came to me and says, "Mom, Daddy, there's somebody out there that likes puppets."
He reminds me so much of me with that pulling the collection out and showing it. I can really relate with that because that's exactly what I would do if I was in his shoes right now. Yeah.
He's got a ham.
Well, maybe he'll end up in that business.
Who knows? He's going to be artistic, whatever he does.
What are your plans for the future now? You say you're working on this movie, The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any...
You Next week, I leave... I'm in the middle of it. Been working on it like 10 years.
What's it called? Do you have a title yet?
The working title is Always Looking Up. What I'm doing now is I'm getting ready to... I'm leaving next week to play the London Palladium in England.
And what would you be doing there?
Your
own act?
Yeah, I'll be doing my act, and then I'll be working with Donald O'Connor and Ginger Rogers.
Oh, wow. What do you do in your act?
Musical comedy. I do impersonations, jokes.
Who are some of your impersonations?
Liberace, Jimmy Durante, Louis Armstrong, Billy Daniels, Peter Lorre.
Can you give me Peter Lorre? I love Peter Lorre.
If you would like Peter Lorre, then we will go down to the station and find out what it's all about.
Do you do any voiceovers?
No, I don't know why.
Never got into
I wish I I'd love to. I'd love to do voiceovers.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I can do voiceovers. I don't know why. I haven't been picked to do. I would love to do voiceovers.
Well, you got the energy for it.
But when I sent him a tape, and the guy said he didn't have enough energy. So you tell me.
Billy Barty doesn't have energy.
That's what the guy said.
How can a guy tell you that?
I don't know. He must be deaf.
Yeah. And you're performing here at the...
I play the drums and little trumpet. Dance.
What do you like to do with your spare time now? Do you have any particular hobbies?
Golf. I sponsor a golf tournament, too.
Oh, really?
It's called the Billy Barty Little People Invitational. This will be our sixth year. And,
Mike. All right.
And, I get very involved in the Billy Barty Foundation because I want to acquire property and build a home for little people and archives. And
when you mean a home, you mean
a retirement home for aging little people. And then I want to have a permanent building that to act as an administration building that they can work out of, that will hire little people. One good thing I think about our organization is that we try not to be a handout organization. We try to contribute.
You don't like to give out anything for nothing.
Exactly. We contribute to society.
There's your philosophy working again.
Well, the motto is think big. And I've always had a positive outlook towards life because there's so many negative things that are there. Like, I just, nobody wants me for to be on any of these quiz shows. I'd get turned down all the time. I said, no, we don't want him. And this is after I've had 4 pictures out and just as much credit as anybody else. Mm-hmm. So,
what's the reason there, do you think?
Just they're afraid of a freakish look on their show. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I could think of. You know,
and some of the walls you're trying to break down.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
And they won't let me.
It's difficult to be cast in a clown kind of situation all the time. It's almost like a...
Well, there's a saying in our organization. No, well, in the business anyways. They don't want to work with little people, animals, and children. Because who are you going to look at? And, you know, the big stars are the most jealous ones of all. Not the big stars. No, I won't say that. I'll take that back. Because I've worked with a lot of big stars, and they're very good. You know, your Red Skeletons and your Spike Jones. And, of course, I'm talking about a lot of yesteryears, you know. But I just seem to plug away and... things seem to happen. Had the best year I ever had last year, so, you know, why complain? You can complain all the time and not do anything.
Mm-hmm. So you've had a lot of bitterness in your life, but you really consider yourself basically a happy fellow?
Oh, yeah. Because you don't dwell on the, you know, the trouble with these organizations is all they do is dwell. You know, just like they wondered why... King never got a big rating. I think the people are tired of that now. They're tired of hearing the same thing over again. Sure, he was a wonderful man. He did a lot of good work. But they're tired of being it's in the Times today, you know, continually reminded. It's nice to be reminded once in a while, but continually to be reminded. And this is the opposite that our organization has taken. Maybe we haven't moved as fast as some of the other groups, but...
But something's happening.
But something's happening, right. And ours is yet still to happen.
Do you like to golf? But what do you do on a rainy day?
Go bowling.
You go bowling?
Sure.
You do a lot of sports?
Yeah, well, I was athletically inclined. I made my letter in football and basketball in college. Mm-hmm. At L.A. City College and L.A. State.
My goodness.
And, yeah, I was...
That's amazing.
I was quite an... You know, I'm not bragging about it, but I was quite an athlete. I used to keep up with the big guys.
That's good to hear.
And which has also encouraged a lot of little people to participate, and they have participated in sports.
There's no barriers. They can do just about anything.
That's right. They... Listen, you know, it's... Do... You may not do it, Will, but do it. The trouble, I think, with the kids today is they're so scared that they're not going to get there on the top by the next day. Mm-hmm. You know, they go to work today, and the first thing they ask is, when is my vacation?
Yeah.
And when, how much am I going to get? When am I going to get my raise?
Yeah.
None of them would last, you know, the way we brought up, you know, but they say, oh, that's a changing times. The times are changing. You got bull. There's one main thing in life, and that's the family. Mm-hmm. And our society has done a heck of a job of tearing the family apart.
You've maintained a pretty nice family here.
Huh? Well, I'm family-oriented. I mean, my mother and dad are still alive, and I either call them every day, or we go down and see them every day, or keep in touch with them.
Oh, really?
My two sisters and I, continually.
Are they local now?
Yeah, they're... Right in Hollywood.
How did you meet your wife?
At a little people convention.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And She dropped on her way home. Her dad had just passed away, and I never met her parents. And her dad had just passed away, and she stopped off at the Little People Convention, and a year later we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Here I was. well, I guess, you know, a Hollywood bum. I don't know what you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
But we just celebrated her 16th year, so...
Mm-hmm. Do you do anything to stay on top of, you know, to stay aware as an actor? I mean, do you go to any classes or study with anybody?
No.
You've always been your own teacher.
No, you listen to people. Oh. You watch people. See, I started when I was 3 years old.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of vaudeville experience.
And I guess my a lot of my experience. Was on the stage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of actually doing it. And I mean, even today, I'm learning all the time. You're watching somebody, or you get good directors and can help you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you what to do and what not to do, and then you can contribute. But they always hire you for the part because they feel that you're right for the part. And a good director will do very little,
mm-hmm.
but direct you mm-hmm. in the right, you know.
To put some names in this book, to give some people just a little bit of credit, besides Patty Maloney and the few we mentioned, are there any other names that you can just throw out to me, like five or six of names that...
Of people who I've worked with?
And... No, well, other little people who are active as yourself. You know, in entertainment. You know what I mean? Is there any other names that, like Patty Maloney, that we, you know, I could give credit to in the book? Just that they've done a lot of work and they've done a lot of children's television shows and such.
There hasn't been many little people given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You'd think that there'd be more, you know, because...
It's the way society thinks. I was very surprised I lasted 3 years.
That's surprising to hear that. I never knew there was such a wall.
Huh?
I never knew there was such a wall.
And in fact, I go on record saying right now that if the networks ever used me in a show, they would have the highest rated show on television. And I'm not kidding. Because I know what can be done. I've seen it happen. And I've seen it...
And you know what's not
torn happening. ...torn apart.
Yeah. And you know what's not happening.
And
it's frustrating.
Just look around and look at this junk we have today.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't know whether that's fair to say junk, but...
No, but I think people will see that when they look at this book. They will see how great it was... And what little there is now. They'll see that in the book.
Well, look what this FTC is trying to do, and the government, you know. Leave us alone. Let the people think for themselves. All right, if they advertise sugar on... If it's no good for you, then you don't buy it for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to have a committee of 48 people to tell us not to... You mean the people are that dumb?
Well, if they can't... They can't have sugar on television. They'll think of something else.
Oh, yeah. You can't have sugar on television, but you can see a guy and lady in bed and not even married.
Yeah.
You can quote me as far as that goes. Because this is what gets me uptight. You know, I've always been the one, I don't want to make any waves. I don't want to do this. But I found out sometimes you've got to now. It's the way they've built up our society.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a, what do you call it, that kind of a leader.
Yeah. Before we wrap this up, have you saved any pictures of the Billy Barty show that I could use in the book?
I probably got some someplace.
Because, you know, I could get copies or I could, you know, I need something. And I'd like to send out a photographer later. I'm going to do this later. A photographer friend of mine is going to go around, and it may be half a year from now, but I'll give you a call, and
okay.
It would just be a quick because we like to see what you look like today.
I haven't grown an inch.
But I think, maybe this way. I think in the book, I'm going to get as many faces as I can, just looking, untouched pictures, because I think a face tells so much about a person.
Yeah.
Laugh lines.
They call wrinkles now.
Character lines.
Character. That's better. I like that. Yeah. Character lines.
Yeah.
Let me take a look and see if I have something back there.
It would be nice.
Could you hold on a minute?
Sure.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.